You have to be of a certain age to understand this, I think. The taxi theme. Alderman Brendan Riley is with us. He is the official alderman of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Mm-hmm. That's an unpaid position, by the way, in case the federal government is listening. And if they are listening, they got bigger and better things to do. Yeah. Let me ask you this. There's this request by some that Uber be limited in terms of the number. Uber and Lyft, rideshare, all the rideshare companies, mm-hmm. be limited in number in terms of people who are servicing Chicago because there are too many. It's hurting the cab business. It's the average hourly wage for these folks is $9 an hour, and it creates more congestion and it takes money away from public transportation as well. What is your thought on this?
Well, I agree with just about everything you said there.
All right, thank you. That was a very good interview. Let's move on.
You're right. We actually checked the stats today. I asked the Department of Business Affairs how many rideshare drivers do we currently have active. That means that they're picking up people within the last week. Mm-hmm. 66,000 rideshare drivers in Chicago.
How many cab drivers are there?
Not nearly that.
Yeah.
If there's 10,000, I'd be amazed.
Yeah. Well, I don't even think there are.
So what we've seen is that the number of rideshare drivers has almost doubled in 3 years in Chicago. That tells you a few things. There's a tremendous demand for it. They're very popular with consumers, and everyone wants to get in on the money-making deal. But to your point, when you have lots and lots of rideshare drivers out there, it diminishes the amount of money each driver is going to make. The rideshare companies do not obviously want additional regulations put in place, new caps. Some of my colleagues have very different opinions on that. Mm-hmm. Personally, my preference is to allow the free market to determine what that number ends up being. At a certain point, if there are too many drivers, it's not profitable enough for any of them. So I think some people will eventually bring that number back down. Coming up with a cap, that's one way to deal with congestion. And you're right. Rideshare folks are contributing very heavily to congestion in downtown Chicago.
And confusion. Congestion and confusion, because they're relying on the apps to move around.
That's it.
They don't know where they're going. They can't, and they don't have the app out wide enough so they can sort of predict and plan and go. And they don't know what is that a block or is this a half a block or what is it? And wait, I'm in the left lane. I got to get two lanes over to the right lane.
So let's go
to pull this
right
person
now.
Over. And they've got foreign plates on them. And I consider, based on how we're treated in these states, these to be foreign plates. Wisconsin and Indiana plates.
Oh,
right? So these WIBs and IBs are here.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It's a problem. I mean, when the driver has to rely entirely upon the app, they're spending a lot less time looking at the road. And that's what makes these guys seem like much worse drivers than cab drivers.
Yeah.
They also don't have to go through a formal livery training, like a chauffeur or...
May I ask you a question? Yeah. Are you aware, maybe you are, maybe you're not, of how much training an Uber driver has to go through? Anything? They just get the app, right? And they have to pass some form of a background check?
So Uber and Lyft claim that they have a training video.
Oh, video!
That their drivers must watch.
Aha.
But there's
starting
no,
Lester Holt.
There's no verification that any of this has penetrated the mind.
Right.
And so, yep, check. We saw the video. Off we go to ride around Chicago and make money. Meanwhile, taxi drivers and livery drivers have to go through a very rigorous course. Not just rules of the road.
Yeah, but real things.
Important stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And so, maybe the solution is not to go straight for this cap and place a lot of additional regulatory burden on folks, but let's take a look maybe at getting these drivers better trained.
Yeah, vetting them a little bit.
And safer. Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. I think that's where there's a really the best opportunity to improve that industry dramatically and quickly without overburdening it and necessarily shutting it down.
This is someone else's material, but I will share it. When we were kids, our parents said, never get in the car with a stranger.
Right.
And now we're paying
Everyone
for it.
Everyone does, all the
right?
time.
And it's like, what? And I get the one thing about a cab, now, you know, the cabs, they know where they are now, too. You know, they have the one thing that Uber and Lyft always said was, well, we know exactly where everybody is because we have this digital receipt. We can also follow these people and we know where they're going from this point forward, as long as their phone's on.
That's right.
That's true.
Right.
Cabs, it's all part of their system now. You know where the cabs are. You know where they're picking up. And cab drivers, in my lifetime here, how many cab drivers, it's an uncountable number, have either been witnesses or foiled crimes in progress,
oh, sure.
been a part of, because they're licensed people who rely on, you know, what they do. They're also victims of crime, at a different rate. And Uber drivers now are. You can watch these police reports and these dockets that come in about the number of Ubers that are involved in, or I'm saying rideshare. It could be mm-hmm. Uber, could be Lyft, could be, you know, any of the people here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using that as a generic term. But how many of these folks find themselves in some sort of weird situation, and then next thing you know, they're calling 911 because someone won't pay, someone won't get out of the car, someone won't do this, someone won't do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's somebody in the back of the car, they're doing this, they're doing that. There might be kissing and the guy's upset. I don't know.
He might be barfing.
Right. They threw up and they won't pay for it.
That's
I mean,
right.
It's like, you know, what are you going to do?
I guess if you limit the supply, though, doesn't that drive the price up eventually? And then one of the things that I think is so attractive about the system right now, and I agree, there are a lot of flaws. I get in Ubers all the time and drivers truly don't know where they're going and they make dangerous moves. And, you know, you don't always feel that comfortable because it doesn't feel like there's that vetting or training. But when I talk to the drivers, they always say, hey, I'm just making a little extra money to get this or buy this or do mm-hmm. this or pay my this bill or that bill. Or I'm a college student. I'm just trying to like get an extra little extra dough on the side. And then the riders will say,
I need drug money.
You know,
that's
hey,
what I like.
Well, and maybe that's one of them too. I actually had an Uber driver or a Via driver who kicked somebody out of the car because he thought that they were carrying some drugs. He smelled it and he's only get out and he said, I'm going to give you a 1-star, and he goes, go ahead, and they got in a fight. But I just wonder, you know, at the end of the day, how do you restrict this so that you still have opportunities for people to make money if they do a good job, right? And then you keep the prices low at the same time so it's not astronomical.
Well, I think training is the key right now. We could revisit a cap down the road, but there are actually, I think, over 100,000 people in Chicago who are technically licensed to do ride-sharing services.
100,000?
Over 100,000.
In the city of Chicago?
In the city of Chicago.
What kind of license?
But only 66,000 are doing it on a very regular basis, so those are called active. So mm-hmm. there's about a third of these ride-share licenses are not being used by their drivers regularly enough to count as an active.
So about 3%
driver.
Of Chicagoans are actually capable of driving these cars.
Just about.
And now imagine, let's take some people out of the pool. Let's take everybody under the age of 16 out of the pool. Let's take everybody over the age of 80 out of the pool.
Wow.
You know, I mean, let's just start to think about, you know, and people who have, jobs that require them to do other things or not do this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big number. Now you're talking about 8-9%.
Right. That's a huge number.
Well, and, you know, unintentionally, I think a cap would make it very difficult to have that flexibility, right?
Yeah.
I mean, people that would go and get these limited number of licenses would probably need to do this on more of a full-time basis, is my guess. So a few of my colleagues have proposed putting a cap on the industry. That'll be fully debated at City Council, I'm sure.
And I'm sure it's going to be a very intellectual discussion.
Probably not.
Alderman Riley, what about the electronic scooters? Because those are popping up in other cities, and I know you guys may be considering here for City Council coming up in the fall. That's a possibility for you on the agenda. Do you like this idea? Because they just leave those. Those are dockless, so they can just leave them, and then your app tells you were to pick one up, and a lot of people complain that those end up on the sidewalks.
That's right.
Or people trip over them and get in the way.
I'm very nervous about the motorized scooters coming here, and I've been following what's happened in other cities, especially on the West Coast.
Yeah.
The problem with anything that's dockless, whether it's a bike or a scooter, is that there's no incentive to properly store it.
Right.
Standing
up in the middle of the street.
Right. And in San Francisco, I understand, with the scooters especially, these things were just being strewn across sidewalks. Like, I'm done, and just throw it down and walk away.
Ooh.
And people became so frustrated with all these scooters on the right-of-way, blocking pedestrians and all this, that they started throwing them into the bay. So they were literally fishing these scooters out of the bay because people hated them so much. I've seen some scooters being used around special events. Every single scooter I've seen has been used on a sidewalk. And I've been talking with the Commissioner of Transportation at the city. We are both very concerned about the near misses on the sidewalk. These scooters go up to 15 miles an hour.
I've seen them go.
If you have a collision with a pedestrian, that pedestrian, both people are going to get pretty hurt. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about, where do these things belong? I think more.
And they would argue not the street because they're not safe there, but they're.
Is it the bike path then, or what?
That's where we're probably going to land naturally, is that these folks would be required to use bike paths, which will not make bicyclists particularly happy either. But to your point, there's only so many places where it's safe to use one. Mm-hmm. The sidewalk is not the place to use these things.
Let's grab a call really quickly from an Uber driver. And Mark, you're on WGN. Go ahead, sir.
How are you doing, Roe? Listen, I just thought I'd comment. I am an Uber driver. I did it full-time. I'm forced to do it part-time now because of health. Anyway, you guys are spot on as far as the folks following an app. And what Uber does is they have their own app now as far as directions go, GPS, and it's very inefficient. What they do is they show you the shortest route rather than the most the fastest route, like I use Waze or Google myself. And another point that you make is that they don't know where they're going from because they're not from the city. And you're absolutely spot on there, too. I live in the city, so I know my way around shortcuts, Lower Wacker, et cetera. And another point you guys made was folks coming in from, you know, foreign plates, as you put it. I completely agree with you there. The folks that come in from Wisconsin and Indiana, and I've seen them Kansas and Florida and all over, there's two things. Number one, all they know is GPS, and, you know, they get caught going down one-way streets, and, you know, they pick up in the alley and things like that, so it's frustrating to both the customers.
You know what? Yeah, you pick up in an alley, which, of course, you know, you do that in a cab, and everyone's going to jail. I mean, everyone's going to jail. Then, and one of my favorite things, too, there's a building in my neighborhood that really, it's very clear on the Uber app. They've missed the building by a half a block because I'll be driving down the street, driving, and all of a sudden these people will slam on the brakes at this building, and they've in the middle of nowhere, and they're like, hey, I missed it. And they're trying to back up down a one-way street in congested downtown Chicago. And you're like, are you? It is. You know, Mark. Thank you for your service to this radio show. That's what I can say about that. Thank you for agreeing with the host. That always makes me feel better.
Thanks for being a safe driver too. It sounds like he knows his way around.
All right, but there's more to come on this. I'd like to testify in front of the city council.
We'll have you in.
Yeah, that would be really something. All right, you people. I can announce I'm running for mayor. I'll be the 900th person to run for mayor in the city of Chicago at that point. But you know, I got a 1 out of 900 chance. I think I got something there.
Saying we got a chance.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm giving out money, not like Willie though. I'm giving out the pennies and things like that.
The change you find in your couch,
right? Robux. I've got like printed my own currency. I've got this whole thing that goes. All right. Thank you very much, Alderman.
Thanks,
appreciate
Alderman.
It. Judy,
thanks,
what's coming up?
The president talking the wall again.
Violetta?